Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the show. I am so freaking pumped for this interview. You know, when you just meet somebody for the first time and you can look into their eyes and within a matter of seconds, you know, you have lived lifetimes together, like an instant remembrance, an instant knowing that you and that person are here on the planet at the same time for the same reason. Even though you might do your craft and your work and your business and your method and your gifts might be different, but you are here for the light. You are here to help humanity rise and awaken and remember their own power. At least that's what I'm up to in the world. And I say this often whenever I meet light workers like my guest today. It's like, we're all here for the same mission. We just do it in different modalities. At the end of the day, we're here for love. We're here for empowerment. We're here for freedom. We're here for joy. We're here for wild abundance and peace, right? And that's exactly how I felt when I met Karen Eldad. I was so blessed that she came through Nashville on her incredible global book tour for her newest book, Gilded, Breaking Free from the Cage of Ambition, Perfectionism, and the Relentless Pursuit of More. And she decided to make it a double whammy when she came into Nashville. She was on my podcast. She was on a couple podcasts promoting the book. I know what that's like. And she hosted this beautiful event at Veronica Beard for her book. And she asked me to moderate the conversation. And it was such a gift to get to talk to her twice in such a deep setting about her beautiful book and her story. And I feel like if you're listening to the show, I mean, hi, it's me. I'm the problem too. I have been an overachiever my entire life. I have been so identified by my own success and ambition up until recently, up until the last couple of years when I scaled my agency, a business that I would go on to sell a few years later. But at the time, I didn't know I was going to exit my business. I was deep in my business. I had built myself, truly, I would say this all the time, a golden cage, and I had locked myself in it and I was holding the key, but there was no way to escape because of the responsibility and the payroll and the pressure and the expectations of, I don't know, my childhood trauma and my ego. And it was my own spiritual journey, as many of you know, that accelerated that year when I went to Egypt and died. My ego died in that country. I came home absolutely different. It's wild to say that, but in 15 days, the most significant transformation on a personal, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional level happened in that country. And I came home and my whole life slowly but surely reorganized and realigned and reoriented to this version that I consider myself to be today, which is not a hustler anymore, but a spiritual hustler. This podcast, this platform, everything I teach inside of my Feminine Frequency Business School and my Seven Sisters Mastermind and my Claim Your Light retreats and on Instagram and in conversations and community with my sisterhood here in Nashville and around the country, my friends, like we're all having a new conversation. It's about how do we build success from a place of grounded peace? Like that is not the luxury or the exception to the rule, but that's the baseline. How do we release our own relentless pursuit of more? And there really is no better woman in the space, in my view, to have written this book. Karen, who's also known as Coach Karen, call her Coach, in fact, is the coach for high achievers across all industries. She's worked with Olympic athletes, Hollywood stars, supermodels, companies like Nike, Estee Lauder, JP Morgan, political senators, even special forces operatives. Basically the kind of people who make excellence look effortless, but still burn out like all of us, and who are really here to leave a big wake no matter what they do or whatever state they are in. And Karen is the one who helps them, helps her community, will help her readers, will help her listeners to her podcast called Coached find that optimal vibration of thriving and to redefine success on an entirely new paradigm. She was named a top 10 executive coach by the International Coaching Federation, ICF. That's a big fucking deal, you guys. And Real Leaders Magazine, and even inside the magazine Goop. She speaks and coaches in 4 languages, has lived in 17 countries. Her TEDx talk has 500,000 views, and she is booked all over the world as a keynote speaker. You guys, she's the real fucking deal. And you're about to sit down with her today, hear not only her story, but how to reimagine your own success, break free from your own cage, because no matter what your journey has looked like, and I know you're here listening to my show and have been on this journey with me because there's something about the spiritual hustler message that resonates with you. You're here to earn money, build a business, have a thriving career, make a big impact in a new frequency. And that's why I say Karen Eldad and I are here. The same mission on planet Earth. We're just doing it in our own unique way. And meeting her was personally a homecoming for me to meet a sister on the path. I love her madly. I love her deeply, truly. And many, many years ago, I went to a conference and it was a really intense couple days where you're in it, you know, with hundreds of people and you find your little carved out tribe, little niche within the group. And I made some really beautiful friends that weekend that are still in my life. And I remember hugging one of them goodbye after 3 days. And he said to me, it was a guy, it was very platonic. And he said to me, "I love you, Jessica." Like, gave me this big hug. And I said, "How can you say you love me? You just met me." I remember saying that to him. And he said, "I don't need to know you my whole life to feel love in my heart for you." And I never forgot that. And I hope you take that and you hold that wherever you go. And that's how I really, truly, honestly felt when I met Karen Eldad. Like, I love her. And I know you're going to love her too. So without further ado, here is my incredible conversation with Karen Eldad. And when you're done listening, or maybe while you're listening, please go to the link in the show notes and buy this woman's book, because her book, Gilded, is gold. And yes, I did that on purpose. All right, here we go. Karen Eldad. Can I call you Karen? I know you go by Coach Karen. But do you want to...
That's a joke, by the way.
But I love it.
And I especially like it with men. With men, I insist on them calling me Coach K, which, by the way, is a nod to an actual guy named Coach K.
Really?
Which they find very humorous.
They do. But I like that. Yeah. You embody that word, Coach.
Coach.
In everything you say and do. It's just, you're in such service with the way you communicate.
Thank you.
And I'm excited for you to communicate your gifts today.
I'm very
and learn
excited
all too. About you, because you have such an incredible story. So I have so many questions, but I start every interview. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast, Coach K.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's an honor friend. With a beautiful new friend, a soul sister. I can see it.
The beginning.
The very beginning. The sky is the beginning, as I like to say.
Took us a long time to find each other, but
and
here we are.
Here we are. Here we are, finally. I'm so grateful. And I know your story, and you know the message of my show is really hustling in a new vibration, right? I think this is why you and I are so aligned. And so what are you currently right now in your life spiritually hustling for, Karen?
I don't take compliments anymore, but the great side of that is I don't really take criticism anymore either. I'm hustling for a completely different God. The gods that had my attention earlier when I was young and wild and free, like everybody, don't have my attention anymore. So the word hustle no longer bears the same meaning. In Martha Beck's magnificent book, The Way of Integrity, have you read it?
No.
It is magnificent, truly a masterpiece. She defines the word hustle, and she uses, of course, the Oxford Dictionary definitions. It's to run a con. It's to essentially or trade in prostitution, which I was not particularly aware of. And the other one is to do something very briskly. That's why so many people enjoy the word hustle, because it's, you know, about a certain pace, a certain jiggle. And unfortunately, it's become so dominant in the culture that we didn't question its real, original meaning. Now I do. Now I think that it's time to flip the word hustle and to infuse it with inspiration rather than motivation, to make it come from within and to make it relaxed and fun, right? Instead of horrifying and exhausting.
Right. Beautifully said attunement and definition for the essence of this show and why I created it, because for the majority of my life, I was hustling for the wrong God myself. And it led me straight into the darkness, the rock bottom. And I know in very many ways, we have very similar parallel stories. And so I want to start with your story, because I believe that we are teachers of what we were or still are students of. And you have this beautiful picture of a cage with an open door on your gorgeous new book, Gilded. And you are teaching the world some incredibly impressive clients, and we're going to get into your business, how to free yourself from this cage. But you yourself were in your own for quite some time. So can we go back to the Karen that was in her own cage?
Well, if you really want the story, we have to start earlier. I was a perfect child. Let's be honest about things. In a perfect family, everything was magnificent. The house itself was white, and my parents are diplomats, so wow. We traveled the world. And I spoke 4 or 5 languages by the time I was 6. And then I was exceptional in school. I mean, really, it came very easily to me, very naturally to me. I was always number one. And then I took that incredible number one spirit into the army, and I was an officer in the army. And then after the army, I went to really impressive universities, at which I was also very impressive. And did I mention to you, I was also very thin, very good looking, and all the boys loved me. Oh, it was like watching a really long version of Ferris Bueller.
But let's not forget to mention you were also valedictorian.
A valedictorian. I mean, prom queen.
What?
You mention it, I got it. Yes.
All right.
Yes. And then, oh, by the time I'm in my 30s, I realize that I'm like, the only sad thing about me that I haven't accomplished is that I'm not married. So I'm about to become a really, really pathetic person, like those women on Sex and the City. So I had to get married. I already fulfilled my Devil Wears Prada dream by that point. I'm working at a really good fashion magazine. My life is very glamorous. Everything is amazing, right? And then I married that guy. He was tall, so let's be honest, he fit all the boxes. I like to joke, that's the apotheosis of all of our desires. Check, 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 check. And then I find myself living in the nicest house I've ever lived in and sleeping in the library, because I'm so terrified of that abusive guy. It was an abusive relationship, not just emotionally.
Physically too?
Yeah, I got threatened constantly. I got told that if I don't come out of the bathroom, he will kill my cats. And the only way to get to me is to hurt the animals. And I mean, it was really a terrifying way to live. And that's when I started to really open up about the fact that almost all of this was a sham. Though some of us are preternaturally overachieving, we are naturally good students. Like some people are naturally good athletes. I'm proud to tell you, as the most Jewish stereotypical thing about me is I really am terrible at all sports. I've never had any athletic ability whatsoever.
Same.
Truly magnificently ill-equipped to even spinning classes, like dominated that. All of it was just an incredible lesson in maintenance and in trying to keep up appearances and in trying to be what I'm not, in trying to correct things so that I did look wonderful to the world. And then I ultimately had built myself a true gilded cage. I boxed myself in more and more and more. So for anybody who hated me in the beginning of this story, just so you know, phony, baloney, fake, 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 fake. And I think that was the first moment that I started to have a real coming to terms. I actually was thinking about this because I shared my story with you a little bit yesterday. There was a moment where everything sort of came to a halt in a big suicidal shower. I was sobbing in a shower, listening to ABBA's only recorded sad song, My Love, My Life. It's a wonderful song, by the way. It literally, I think, goes, one of us is crying, one of us is dying in a lonely bed. I don't know how they wrote such a extraordinarily excruciating lyric, but I'm sobbing in that shower and I'm thinking the only way out of this is to take my own life. I did remember what happened that day. That day we had moved into a new house and all of my things, just mine, by the way, not my husband's, were stolen.
How?
I have no idea. They broke in. Wow. In the move. They took all of my, the fancy handbags and the jewelry and stuff like that. Basically just my stuff, my laptop, all of that is gone. This is also when I discover that he had not paid any of our bills, including our insurance bill. So basically the sham, the farce comes into the open in one fell swoop. And I had to contend with my own part of this Faustian bargain, of this deal with the devil. I start to realize what a sham this was. All of it was a sham. And my only way out, I thought, was to kill myself. Now, you know the rest of the story. Luckily, I snapped out of it. I don't know how. I really don't. I just remember thinking this ends now. And the rest is history.
You ended up leaving that marriage.
I did. That was the first thing I did.
And you gave up everything. You started again from zero.
Well, a little less than zero. Technically, there was credit card debt too. Mountains of credit card debt, which I delightfully spent at Prada trying to maintain that appearance.
And
you familiar with that?
Very.
Ring a bell?
I think all of us could relate to that. You were living in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Far away.
Swiss.
Yeah, he was a Swiss guy.
Yeah.
And you ended up making your way to New York somehow.
I went back home, yeah.
What then? Where did you start? What was your first steps from moving out of zero to where you are now? Take us back to, I think you said you looked for a job for 7 months.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to say, you know this because you tell your resurrection story. Nobody just walks back into glory and is welcomed by rainbows and ponies. Unfortunately, loss is real loss. So that was just the beginning. That was kind of the amuse-bouche. The divorce was horrific. And I was like, yay, I'm out of that. That was the end of the sorrow. But it wasn't. I put my stuff, the remaining belongings I had in storage. The storage burned down. Ugh. I lived on friends' sofas for a very long time. In my late 30s, by the way. I'm in my mid-30s at this point. So I'm really going through an excruciating period that lasts a very long time. Both of my cats died within 2 weeks of each other. The series of events was really very difficult and in a very short, condensed part of time. But by 2015, I have already started to develop a taste for something I'd never really enjoyed before, the self-help genre.
You said.
It started with Stephen R. Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And then You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. By 2015, I'm a junkie. I've got more than 300 books in the house, which I know because I moved a lot, as you know.
And it's important to know that that says a lot. 300 books is very heavy.
Yeah.
You look down upon the self-help space.
I did, of course. I'm an academic. I thought it was beneath me. Only sad people with really tragic lives look to coaching and to help. What kind of a person would I be if I thought that this was my universe? I listen to podcasts like NPR and whatever Guy Raz is doing this week. Ira Glass was my jam.
Wow.
And here I am going to a Tony Robbins seminar and jumping up and down like a lunatic.
Yes, you are.
And it changed my whole life. It changed my whole life. By 2015, I was unrecognizable to myself. I was chillaxed. I didn't have anything yet, by the way. I hadn't completely turned around anything yet. I had stabilized my life. I had basically found a steady job back in my old industry, and I had started to, you know, enjoy macromances again. You know, those 3 month stints with someone who appeared to be wonderful.
Yeah, but hopefully the sex was good.
It was great, of course. Yeah. 3 month relationships are always
good.
They're
so fun. They call them rendezvous.
Yes, exactly.
They're
fun little cage fights with a potential karmic lesson. And I enjoyed them very, very much. I love those guys. And a shout out to all the gentlemen who got me through that period. Thank you very much for everything and for all the free meals. I needed them. But by the time I'm kind of well again, I started to think that I feel so good. I'd really like to share with people the 12-step program I sort of devised from all the coaching that I'd done by that point. I did. Then I downloaded in my little LinkedIn. At the time, you could download all your emails from LinkedIn.
Yep. At the time. It was the glory days.
They're on to us now.
Yeah, they are. They took that away.
They don't let us do that now. And it was only 500 people. And I put out an email saying, I mean, literally, I wrote it from my heart. I didn't have any coaching on how to write a templated email at the time. I wrote, I've been through a huge journey. This is what's happened so far. I want this for you. I wrote a program because I'd written a program in a fever dream that lasted 2 weeks and recorded it and had the audacity to film myself and everything. I'm ready to take on 12 clients as a side, because that's all I could have done over that period of time because I had a full-time job. If you're ready and you'd like to talk to me about it, I don't have a consultation link or anything. Just email me back and let's figure this out. Jessica,
tell me.
Before 24 hours were out, we sold out.
What?
And the royal we, because it was just Karen and zero cats at the time, took on those clients. And I just went, all right, let's go for it. My only job is to become a really, really good teacher. All I care about is to become a really good teacher, figure out how to help these people, teach them everything I know. And the rest, as they say, is history. That was January of 2017.
What? We have such similar stories.
Yeah.
Do you know that I did basically the same thing? When I left my agency, I BCC'd 180 people. I did not steal them from LinkedIn. I had them in my Gmail contacts. And basically, no business strategy, no website, nothing. Just said, I'm available to consult. I'm open for business. Yeah. And I got clients within a week. And that was the start of my agency. That's how I started it. It was like literally the rest is history. And so
that's alignment.
True that.
So when I coach people now and I talk to them and they're launching the business, if they're not in that zone where they're just really genuinely interested in sharing with this with somebody.
Yes.
And seeing what happens.
Yes.
If that's not the energy.
Right.
Maybe go take a little retreat before launching anything.
Let's click into this because it's a beautiful story. I mean, in your business today, I mean, you have a massive platform. You've coached some of the top performers and executives and leaders in the world. For the reason being, I think we all start to some degree in alignment because we love it. We've found our purpose. Those that arrive there then create a certain flywheel of success.
Yeah.
But then something happens to a lot of us where we get the hit of the success and we keep working harder and harder because the world keeps telling us, keep going, you're winning, you're doing something right. And then we find ourselves in cages.
Yeah, that's true. And we have two ways of responding to that. That's behavioral style related or human design related, if you want. In your case, because again, I feel like I know you very intimately, you take the bait and you absolutely wear yourself down to the bone. I'm the exact opposite.
Really?
I say no. I just walk away, shut down, want to go back to my bed and my bathrobe and watch Frasier reruns and make them go away. The exact opposite default. That's also, I've learned to recognize it now because that is a sign that you are not willing to expand to where your soul has already gone. And it is time to do the work again to realign vibrationally so that you can, almost like to expand your stomach so you can absorb a Thanksgiving meal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know my community has, you know, followed my journey. They're here listening and have really, I think what's been really powerful in my own sort of accidental experiment that turned out to be a success, which is the last year of my life launching this platform, is how vulnerable and open I was about my burnout story. Because I had a lot of moments of, you know, what I'd call imposter syndrome, where I would feel like I couldn't fully hold the capacity for what was happening. But then I would move through it and I kept growing and the business kept growing and I kept getting more and more validation.
Yeah.
To keep hustling. And, you know, it's really profound actually that you have this picture of a cage on your book. I feel like we were definitely starseed sisters in another life or maybe many, because I would have this exact image in my brain running Simply Be. This is what my life felt like. And the cage door was in fact open. I mean, it was my own business. I had full agency over my life, but I felt so trapped.
Of course.
And
obligation.
And the more my success became sparkly on the outside, the more dark I felt on the inside. And reconciling that discrepancy was so terribly lonely and led me into depression.
Yeah.
And talk about feeling like an imposter, because everyone thought I was crushing it. And in the inside, I wanted to burn my whole fucking business down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, last night we were together, which was so beautiful. And I asked the whole room, like, raise your hand if you've ever experienced burnout. And everyone raised their hand. And there were a lot of questions, and I know my audience will have them today. Like, there's a real paralyzation that happens where we've built this cage and we don't know how to truly break free. And you talked about the first step being admitted.
Yeah.
And it sounds really simple, but it's not.
No, it's not, because you have to completely shatter your identity. If you actually say, this sucks and I hate it, you're, first of all, you sound ungrateful. And especially the superstars I coach, I mean, they really are hesitant to say, I mean, but look how blessed I am. So it's such a hard thing, because it's an admission of failure. It's an admission of making a mistake, but it's also an admission of this is a facade. This is, I'm a farce. I'm a fraud. So it's an extraordinarily hard thing to do. So like most addicts, what they'll do is they'll say, I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle my drinking. And I'm sitting there going,
yeah,
how's that working for you? And we had to live this too. So now, if you're ready for the second thing, I'd like to offer everybody listening a breakthrough.
Let's go.
Maybe even you.
I'm here for it.
Do you know why we do this? Do you know what we're afraid of? Why we perpetuate this for so long? I had a huge, huge realization around this one day. And it just kind of, I mean, it literally took me aback.
I'm here for it.
I'm terrified of ease.
Huh.
I started to think about it. If I'm genuinely comfortable, if I'm genuinely happy, I'm no longer useful.
Isn't that a deep fucking program?
I'm no longer a superstar. I'm no longer my parents' little superstar. All my identity collapses like that.
Yes. Yes.
Of course you don't want to admit it. Your entire ego, your entire set of beliefs has protected you from the feeling that you are not useful.
You know, you read my book, Went to Egypt.
Yeah.
And the biggest memo I got from that trip was, it's supposed to be fun. Like, your life is meant for you to enjoy it. And I say that trip was the doorway, and the last few years of my life have been the integration. But I still, Karen, I still have days where I ask myself, what am I doing wrong? Because I'm not productive all day long.
Yeah, I know. It's programming.
It runs so, so deep. So, you know, and I also loved what you said yesterday, like, step two is admit you're lying to yourself.
Yes, just stop lying.
So the deep, deep programming, and I love that you brought in that word ease, because it's really the essence of the show and really teaching women that that's possible, to live in a life that is filled with flow and that it can be easy to be successful.
Actually, but it should be.
It should be. It's the way we were designed. Yeah, it's actually our birthright. But your work, you know, is to help your clients reprogram that.
Yes.
And so how do you do that? What does that look like in action?
We start working on what is authentic to them. You know, we all have behavioral styles. Of course, we also, if you're interested in it, of course, there's human design as well. If you're not interested in, my corporate clients certainly are not. Behavioral style will talk to you in your language. It's not a problem, but it does have to be according to your authentic understanding of yourself, your authentic code. And if it feels off, it is off. And most people are so programmed to just overwrite or repress off that they'll just keep plowing through. Let's talk for a second about how businesses are built. There are a couple of ways to build a business. Some people are truly you're born in a Ferrari. You're completely okay with moving the energy. In that case, your energy will become combustible. It'll start working against you. You will blow up in short spurts. So what we want to teach you is how to moderate that behavioral style. In my case, it's the exact opposite. I'm the kind of person who never stops stopping. Really, really like to work in very consistent, moderate pace. I have to work against that tendency too and wake things up every once in a while. Notice when I'm getting too comfortable. It's usually very easy for me now to tell, because I start getting bitter.
Yes.
If I'm starting to get bitter or resentful, I took the comfort a little too far again. So we all have to sort of understand how things work for us to start aligning with ourselves and to grow our businesses the right way for us.
All
All right, my friends, if you are listening to this podcast, I know that you know that the Matrix is bullshit. And yet it has gotten its hooks into so many of us, looping us into stress and scarcity and survival. And I can say this because I speak from deep experience. But here's the truth. Your cells, your body, your systems, your life was built for brilliance, not burnout and fear. It is time, sister, to deprogram the deep programs that have been running your life for most of your life. And Microflow microdose mushrooms is your key. Now, these are high vibe, organic, Reiki infused blends designed to support your nervous system, your menstrual cycle, your psyche, and your physical body in breaking free from it all. Microflow isn't just a magic mushroom microdosing company. Microflow is different. It is a soul technology. It's founded by Christy Nault as the only cycle syncing microdose protocol made for women to balance divine masculine and divine feminine energy on the market. The Exude blend activates your radiance, heart opening, bold expression, and full aliveness. I love to take Exude during my follicular and ovulation phases of my cycle. And then there's Surrender, which softens your system into deep rest, healing, and fertile reconnection. And I love to take Surrender during my luteal and menstrual phases. Now, if you want to tap into even higher states of consciousness, pick up a bottle of Theta with Egyptian Blue Lotus, which Christy says, and I've experienced this personally working with it, is a portal not into 5D realms, but 7D realms. When you use it in ceremony, channeling, ecstatic dance, or breath work, trust me, you are going to have an unforgettable life-changing activation. And when you purchase Theta, you're going to get Christy's full 4-hour guided breathwork experience for free. Microflow isn't about escaping. It's about alchemizing your life, your business, your relationships, your health, your vitality into more freedom. I would not have the life that I have, the business that I have, the team that I have, the body that I have, the marriage that I have, and the joy that I have if it wasn't for using Microflow consistently every single week of my life for the last 3 years. So visit microflowhealing.com now and use code Jessica10 at checkout for $10 off your order. Visit microflowhealing.com today to pick up your blends. And do not miss Christy's free 2.5-hour microdosing masterclass. Your sovereignty begins now. That was a big learning curve for me.
Yeah.
I actually had someone once in the very beginning of my career reflect to me as a compliment. You're a sprinter, Jessica.
Yeah.
You can sprint so hard, so fast, and then you'll crash, but you get right back up. And I prided myself on that. I took that on as my identity. And for almost 6 years straight, I sprinted and I crashed. I'd get up until one day I couldn't get up anymore. And I didn't know because I had been so programmed and gotten so many dopamine hits throughout my career that I was doing it right, that to reassess my true design as someone that was not even a marathon runner, but like a slow moseyer. Like that I could mosey through my days and still make progress. And that took a lot of humility. And like you said, admitting to myself that I was lying to myself.
Yes. I always say that y'all don't need to really tone it down. You just need to make it fun.
Amen.
You love speed. You really like it, but it has to be the right speed and it has to be doing the right things. If the second you reorient yourself around something that feels hard for you, you're losing all your power.
Yeah.
You're truly magnetic people. And I think it's a very important thing to just learn to chill the freak out.
Yeah, totally. You work with people like me, people, you know, in all sorts of spaces and beyond. And one of the things that I really treasured about your book and your message was your emphasis on vulnerability in leadership. And we have this belief that in order to build a big business and to be seen in the world, that we need a certain level of consistent strength.
Yeah.
And where does vulnerability in your mind as a coach come in as your biggest
superpower.
There's another word for vulnerability that I prefer, and it's honesty.
Yeah.
Integrity is another very good word for it.
Yeah.
Vulnerability is the ability to not lie. The ability to not lie is harder than it seems because you might look weak to people and you will look like you don't have your shit together, and you'll have to admit mistakes too, and you'll also have to admit all of your shortcomings. Now for regular people, for laymen, if you will, there are a lot of hiccups in that universe. Age is a big one. Physical appearance for women, my God, is a huge one. How smart am I really? Huge one for men. How much money do I have? Huge one for both sides.
Totally.
Really, really big Achilles heels around which they're not particularly vulnerable. I know this because I have participated in masterminds, and I have a couple of masterminds that I run myself. And let me tell you something. The second somebody says, I made $1 million this year, three other people go, me too. And I'm sitting there going, I'm your coach. I happen to know you're lying. My marriage has never been better. We just got back from an amazing weekend in Mexico. I'm like, are you going to mention the part where you didn't have sex in the last 7 years? Is that going to come up? No, I guess not. And so that's very, very hard for people on that surface level. Yeah. But for the superstar, there is one thing they are truly, truly loath to admit. And that is, I don't got this. I don't know everything. There are gaps in my knowledge and in my understanding. And I hate that I don't get this. I hate that I don't understand this. This makes coaching a much more brutal process for them.
Sure.
Because they're not willing to let go. They're not willing to say, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Can you help me? This is the breakthrough moment for all superstars, really. And for anyone who's intensely focused. By the way, let's say that you're just an overachieving parent. I feel for you. I really do. Y'all are in for a really rude awakening. It's a really hard thing to say. The way I'm doing this is clearly not working. These kids have figured me out. What do I do here? And to find the ability to do that is everything. That's the biggest problem for leaders too. You have to be able to say, I'm going to need some additional voices here. And I have to have the humility to understand that this is not working in order to pivot, in order to manage the change, in order to overcome the conflict.
What do you feel about, because you think about like our parents and their parents' parents.
Yeah.
And the
poor unfortunate souls.
I agree.
We love them.
We're here to circuit break the generational traumas and talk about programming. But even, they could probably relate to the feeling of having expectations put upon them for success and validation. And I can remember that growing up as a child of the 80s and the 90s, so much of my output and platform and success today is a direct reflection of just wanting to make my daddy proud of me, for real. But we're living in 2025, Karen, where we have Instagram.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I want to hear from you the impact that that has had in the acceleration of this. I call it an epidemic of burnout.
Yeah.
Because you're mentioning the perfect marriage and the perfect bank account and the successful business. And it's one thing to sit in a mastermind in front of, 10, 15, 20 people and try to impress. But we're all sitting in front of thousands of people today trying to impress. And how do we navigate that?
The societal need to measure up is a tale as old as time. And by the way, it is also culturally groundbreaking. In other words, there's literally no, I coach people from Jeddah to Sydney, and they all have a linear path to success. They all have hallmarks of success that are identical to ours, as in, here's what you should have by this age. Everybody has that in any society. Our parents did as well, and our parents' parents did as well. And they understood whether they were up or down in the hierarchy and what it meant to be good in a good life. So these are the things that we have inherited through generations. Unfortunately, today, not just our parents, our peers, and our nearest and dearest are telling us whether or not we're doing well. Our Instagram feed is telling us whether we're doing well. And it's no longer measuring up or lining up with the Joneses. You're trying to keep up with the Bezoses. And in that sense, you're in a completely different universe, a truly different universe. I read a book a few years ago that kind of changed my mind and my understanding of my very, very wealthy clients, because I never understood, like, if you're in nine-figure territory, the hell's your problem? Well, it turns out that when you're in 10 million universe, you start to be surrounded by $100 million universe. When you're in $100 million universe, you're surrounded by billionaires. This is a completely unwinnable situation. This is why the end of the tagline to my book is the relentless pursuit of more. It never ends. It's a bottomless pit. It's a horrifying way to live, frankly, if you're ready to buy into it. Now, you and I have a tremendous advantage here.
Tell me.
We're old.
Yes, we are. Yes.
We're over 40.
We're over 40.
Over 40 means I didn't grow up with this, which means I can technically see that it's vile. I can at least understand cognitively, rationally, that this is vile. But those poor people under the age of 35 today.
I know.
My heart goes out.
I feel
truly,
the same.
My heart goes out. You do not see that these are shadows. You don't see that this is vile. Many times you actually think that what you're seeing is real when it's absolute nonsense. It's somebody's highlight reel at best, by the way.
At best.
So I think that there are two things people can do here.
Tell us.
The first is set your feed the way I do. My algorithm really follows me. It's 90% cat videos, 10% spiritual teachers. And you feel free to check. By the way, there's some fashion in there too. In other words, absolute nonsense. I know what this is set to. Do not give me any of the stuff I don't want to see. And the second, which is even harder, is abstinence.
Well,
I don't think that you can do anything else. If you are going to participate, make sure you curate the crap out of this. Because I don't think anyone is enlightened enough or noble enough to stand against this.
I completely agree. I'm someone who, I love that you mentioned the curation of your own feed. I mean, you really have sovereignty over what you consume.
Yes.
Just like what you put in your mouth and watch on TV.
Yes.
And yet, even with all the work that I do, I know my conscious community does, there's still that opportunity to get, I wouldn't even say triggered, sometimes taken down.
Of course. But they're trying to get you.
Yeah.
They're trying to get you. Well, in that case, they're really another evolved thing that you can do as a human grown-up over the age of 28 is realize that they're lying, especially on LinkedIn, by the way. Just keep reading the feeds from the perspective of these are lies and have a good chuckle. Have a good chuckle. These are lies, lies, lies. Like, for example, I am so proud that I made the Forbes 50 under 40. You paid for that, first of all.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's true. In other words, just really have a good chuckle with yourself.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. That's how you learn how to manage this.
Yeah. For me, it's like been such a reframe of, I mean, there has to be a point, I believe, that you must get to if you are one of those people putting yourself out there, you know, not just the content consumer, but the content creator, the thought leader, the expert. I believe that authenticity is really an edge, and there's authenticity and layers of it. There's transparency, there's layers of it. There's integrity, there's layers of it. But to really remember that not everyone is going to get you and not everyone's going to believe you. And that's just perfect.
Yes, absolutely. But that's also why I think in real life changes everything.
Yes.
In real life changes everything. I think everybody should meet everyone that they really care about in person, and they should meet a lot frequently. I let people very, very close to me, which, by the way, is against ICF, International Coaching Federation, rules.
Really?
Yes, you're their coach, so there has to be some kind of a distance. I learned in the Army that your commanders, you're not supposed to just hang out with them. They technically are leading you into war, so you should have some kind of a distance with them. It's the same with therapists too, right? You want to avoid transference, the projection of feelings, et cetera, et cetera. I've decided to completely and blatantly disregard this. I want you to see me. I want you to see me lose my shit sometimes because the retreat has not been organized properly. I am a human being. You must see this. I want you to see my marriage up close. I want you to see how I live. I want everyone to see that this is a person who walks the walk and who's okay completely just being a human being. That is the most important part of life itself. And if you really want to get to know people, there's only one way, and it's IRL, as the kids say.
I really could not agree more. I am still somewhat traumatized by the COVID years where we couldn't have human interaction and community for so long. And it really still to this day feels like such a gift to be in person with people.
It's deeply unhealthy. And you know, if you watched Wicked three times in the theater like I did.
Same.
I mean,
what? Of course. Why? Like, how could you not?
Going to move in here.
Yes.
Me and every gay man in America just had the best month of our lives. The Wizard of Oz has to appear behind a mask. The entire thing has to be shrouded in secrecy. People who truly want to lie to you have to have an enormous amount of secrecy, invulnerability, facade around them. People who transcend this are just, I'm going to be human.
Right.
Enjoy.
Right. Karen, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but I'm just, as you're speaking, you have, you know, you do this work every single day. You've written this book. You have this beautiful podcast. Your mission, if you were to just boil it down into a couple sentences, what you really see the future looking like if we were to really do this work, what does that world look like?
It's as Carl Jung said, the privilege of a lifetime is to get to live as you are. My job is to help people to really come home to who they really are and hopefully live the rest of their life that way.
When someone is through your book, which I really can't wait for them to read, and we're going to link it in the show notes. And congratulations, by the way, on the massive success of this book.
Thank you.
You're everywhere, sister. It's incredible. It's global. You've really written a manifesto on how to break free and to come back to who you are.
It's my little 12-step program.
It is. It's done so well. When she closes the book, and I say she because that's who's listening, what do you want her to do next?
I want her to have the courage to do what she knows that she's supposed to do. It's going to be hard. It's going to cost you your old life.
Yeah.
But it'll be worth it.
You are no longer in your cage, and you're running this business. And I'm just curious to know what it looks like for you every day. Like, how are you living
so dramatically? In 2022, like you, I hit the biggest obstacle, which is huge success, and I hated it so much.
Really,
that I was ready to shut everything down. Really, really. 48 clients onboarded. We usually do 12 a quarter because I can only work at a certain pace, and I'm really, really intense. My beloved director of operations, Lee, was like, "I'm quitting," and I was like, "I'm going with you." I hate this too. What the hell were we thinking? This is a nightmare. We then finally realized that there's nothing we can do. We are people who are so dedicated to service, we are not going to drop the ball here. We just need to rearrange everything and we need to realign. So I truly took the time to realign and to also understand what happened here. What happened here was the energy was wrong for me. I am truly not an outreach person. I genuinely do not enjoy massive or volume of anything of any sort. My only way to manage volume, unlike many coaches, which is to start a coaching firm and to start essentially farming things out and scaling, is to do what Esther Hicks, my favorite teacher, has done, Abraham Hicks, the one, the only Esther, and that is to just start performing for larger groups and to only allow one person to me at a time. I can only do this in narrow slices. And so I just reorganized the building, the whole building around that.
Wow.
And now when we are experiencing again, the book launched 2 weeks ago, a huge growth spurt. I'm ready. I know what's right. I know what my limits are. I know what goes into wait list automatically. And we are ready to receive you one by one.
Wow.
The way Karen likes to do it.
How big is your team?
5 people.
Perfect.
Yes.
Amazing.
We keep it in the family. And I am the only coach. If you're going to work with me, you are going to work with me.
That's probably what the market wants.
Yes.
It's a gift. One of the biggest, because we have such similar stories.
Yeah.
You know, I have 7 people now versus 30, and it's totally different life.
All amazing, by the way.
And they're my gifts, angels. They have really allowed me to elevate into, you know, what I call like my queen code. Like I structure my days with a lot of space to be able to show up as me. I'm just curious to know, because I share this a lot with my community, and I don't want it to feel aspirational. I want it to feel attainable. Yeah. And we're all at different stages of our businesses, my community. But I don't feel like you have to get to a certain level to then create the structure to protect your time. So how are you structuring? Like, what does a day like look like for you?
I'm not going to like this.
Is it crazy right now because you're in a book launch?
No, not at all. Nobody's going to like this because I'm going to sound like one of those horrible people who is perfect. I would like to add here that I am a Virgo. So just naturally extraordinarily organized and extraordinarily disciplined. But that is also the only way I can manage this. The only way I can manage this is with a schedule that is truly unbreakable. As in, if I'm with Jessica now, that's it. There is nothing before it. There is nothing after it. It's super clean. And I run my days that way. I actually created a PDF downloadable for all my clients. I'm happy to send it to you. Karen's time management formula.
Let's go.
This is how I work. I pack 3 days before a trip, no matter what. I plan my weeks on Sunday. I take 45 extra minutes out. It's not a lot of time to literally plan out every day of the week, to book all of the workout sessions, to make sure that all the outfits are planned. It's weird level discipline, but it works. It means that you have way less friction in your day. You can relax, and it allows me to do what I really care about the most, which is absolutely nothing with my morning. I like to live in the 90s in the morning. There is no phone. There's just me and Ryan and the animals and coffee and a bathrobe. A newspaper, a physical newspaper, like an elderly person. That's how I live my life.
Until what time?
Until about 9.
Amazing.
Yeah. Sometimes you have some freak shows from Europe who unfortunately drill sergeant you at 8, but I can handle that. I'll just wake up a little earlier so I can mosey first.
I'm a Virgo rising.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm a Leo sun, but that Virgo in my...
Explains all the cream.
Yes. I thought for a hot second I was a Leo rising, Leo sun because of my chart. And then my real amazing astrologer explained that I was a Virgo rising and my whole life made sense because I am meticulously structured and organized and anal and detailed.
Yeah, exactly. And we sound like terrible people, but I'm sorry, y'all. We're better with time than you are.
Truly. We got to get that download of your time management structure.
I'll be happy to send it to you.
Beautiful.
Coach K's time management. And everyone's invited to my lunacy.
I'm here for it.
I also have another thing that's just a tiny little secret, which is do the first thing first. Not all things matter equally. Do the first thing first. If your taxes are due, that is the first thing that needs to happen in your day. Otherwise, you're just going to drag it. It's going to ruin the rest of everything. So do the first thing first. Get it out of the way. The most important things always have to happen in the beginning of the day because our energy, even if you're preternaturally blessed like Jessica, is finite.
It is finite. Speaking of finite, I have one last question for you, which you spoke to last night that really tracked for me, was the midlife crisis.
Welcome, sister.
Yeah. Well, you were like, it's anytime between the age of 35 to 55, and you're going to have multiple.
Yes, it's undulating.
It's undulating. And you talk a lot about this on your podcast. Yes. You said this was
An entire series just for the midlife crisis.
What is happening to all of us at this point?
It's very simple to explain. The wonderful Carl Jung expressed it first. Elliot Spitzer was the first psychologist who identified this as a non-voluntary growth spurt and process of individuation. There is only one other that we experience in life, and that is known as adolescence. The 5 stages that you will go through are identical to adolescence. And the way I like to explain this to people is, when you're about 15, you're physically large enough to start to answer to the authorities around you and to say, no, thank you. And when you're in your 40s, you basically become spiritually big enough to go, you've got to be kidding me with this. What's happening?
Right.
This is the beginning of basically realizing that you've climbed the mountain. You're looking around and you're thinking, is this it? What's happening?
Yes.
You've got to be kidding me. That's the wonderful moment, though. While it feels terrible and it comes with very aggressive emotions, it is an emotional turbulence that you're feeling. Restlessness, aimlessness, dissatisfaction, just a weird feeling that time has passed you by and you've made wrong moves. Very, very tough feelings like regret, too, which are what start the nostalgia and the really weird behavior like, let's date young people. And let's get a sports car. Just bizarre cliches that happen to a lot of people in order to essentially reclaim youth and cling to former self. What should really be happening is, yay, new self can be born here. If you go willingly, if you're willing to slide down this rather than tumble down screaming the entire way, this will be the breakthrough that allows you to climb a better mountain. What's really happened in Middle Ages, you've climbed the ladder and you didn't ask yourself whether the wall was the right one.
Right.
Middle Ages is giving you the opportunity to readjust the ladder and put it on another wall. Now, the part you're not going to like is you will have to climb down the ladder first. But go willingly. It'll go easier. This is the best crisis of our life.
I mean, I didn't buy myself a sports car. I'm married. I couldn't date anyone younger. But I relate to that mountain climb so deeply.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I took a torch to everything. And yeah. Luckily for me, I only dated one 28-year-old and he was delightful.
Sure he was.
Shout out to Matt.
Matt, if you're listening.
Matt, if you're listening, that was fun.
We got to talk more about that when we're not recording. Curious to know the deets. Your new life will cost you your old one. And it's a glorious, exquisitely painful, but so deeply worth it.
Yeah.
Journey back down so that you can climb back up the right mountain. Do you have a favorite spiritual book? Going to go into my quick fire with you now.
Five.
Tell me them. You're an avid reader.
Very avid reader. So if I recommend them, they're very good.
I respect it. I get that.
Number one, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
He's on the back of your book.
Number two, Martha Beck's The Way of Integrity. Number three, You Are a Badass, followed very, very closely by You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jensen Cherryl. Absolutely magnificent. Number four, The Light Work by Jessica Zweig. By the way, I'm pronouncing it correctly.
You are, of course. Well, you know my...
It's actually Zweig.
Yes, thank you for saying it correctly for real in front of my whole audience.
And there are so many others that I absolutely love, but if I must name a fifth, I would go with Tosha Silver's It's Not Your Money. And it's such a funny thing because I've mentioned two money books here, but the truth is you could replace the word money with absolutely anything else. It's not your husband. It's not your child. It's not your business. And you will really profoundly understand that book. It's a really wonderful book. All of the true teachings, they actually don't lead to scaling and significance and exaltation. They're about release and surrender. I think that the best part of my success right now is that it really feels like the process of becoming nobody. It's been the best journey yet.
You cry saying that?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You mentioned Abraham Hicks.
Yes.
And one of my questions was, do you have a favorite spiritual teacher? Do you have a second favorite spiritual teacher?
Ram Dass, may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
Yes.
Wow. He was a Jew.
He was, of course, Dick Alpert.
Yeah, yeah.
He was Dick Alpert because before he went to India, he came back, he was teaching at Harvard, and he said something very profound. He said he realized back in that room that they were academics, and he was now a mystic. Almost all of my allergy towards woo-woo and mysticism dissipated when I realized what he was talking about. Wisdom is superior to knowledge. It's nothing without knowledge. Sorry for those who eschew the scientific community, but it's truly a notch above.
I could not agree more. Speaking of being a now woo-woo convert,
yeah.
Do you work with any specific angel or goddess or deity or ancestor?
Nope.
None?
No.
You just have the one God.
That's right.
I love it.
God person.
Do you believe in aliens, Karen?
Probably. I've never met one. And I'd probably be scared.
You're talking to one.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I watched Taken when I was like 25 and I've never slept soundly since.
They're out there.
I'm like, they're here.
Yeah, they're not even out. They're here.
Yeah.
They're here. My final question for you.
Yesterday you said that you really loved living in the forest. I was like, you couldn't pay me enough. I would be terrified.
Really?
I'd literally look out the window constantly going, I see them. They're here.
I said, you know, I lived in Chicago. Like, yeah. New York was my Chicago. And I slept technically for 20 years in a concrete block with people above me, people below me, people next to me in apartments, yeah. High rises. And when I found Nashville and we saw the green and the birds and just the rolling hills, my dream became like quiet mornings with coffee, birds chirping. And so I'm moving to the woods. My husband hates insects, so this is going to be really interesting.
Like, just get screens.
We are going to, but they get in anyway. If there's a fly in my house, my husband has meltdown. So anyway, this will be an adventure.
Sounds like
me. you guys would get along. He would love you. He's Jewish.
You'd like Ryan.
I already do.
The big Gentile.
I'm from North Dakota.
North Dakota.
I still can't get over that. I was stalking your Instagram yesterday. I was like, that, I love it. It's so beautiful.
Isn't he cute?
He's so cute.
I know.
You guys seem so in love.
He's
so happy.
So cute. Yeah.
My final question for you.
In love for a Gentile, I think, is a different aspect. He's from the Midwest, so.
Say more about that,
His
actually.
Ability to express affection is very limited, but yeah. That's part of his charm.
Yeah. Must be.
If Ryan is, like, even cracking a smile, he's ecstatic.
I need to meet him.
Yeah.
I need to see the two of you in action. Okay. I already feel, in many ways, you answered this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Because I look at you. You know, I believe that the new earth is here. And we are making it real every day in conversations like this. And the work that you and I do.
Yeah.
But I want to know, what does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth rising at this time?
Well, I mean, you tapped into it in your first chapter of the light work, and also so did Michael Beckwith. Kabbalistically, or from Judaism, the whole job is to carry light and to be as much of a light as possible. This is really hard to do. People all think of themselves as generous, but then they don't act on it. Like, here's a great example. The other day I was sitting in first class and I saw a gentleman in uniform board, and I immediately had the thought, give him your seat. I got to be honest with you. That was real hard to do.
Did you give it to him?
I did, but I didn't want to. And then when I sat in the back, in a middle seat, which I traded with him, I was like, Karen, you're going to start to work on your deserving a little more. But I have to say, like, that's pretty much it. Being the light is really making decision after decision that comes from an impulse that is abundant rather than an impulse that is scarcity-based. And just doing it over and over and over again, that's literally the entire job, is to find within yourself the pieces that are mean and want to cling to the first class seat, and the parts of yourself that have a just amazing epiphany of get up, give your seat, and going a little bit more often, more frequently, not always, none of us is perfect, with the nicer impulse. That, to me, is being a bearer of the light, and that is what will hearken, I think, overall, a new earth for all of us. Eckhart, however, really figured it out when he said there are really only one type of enlightened creature on the planet, and that's the cat.
With that, well, I want to say,
don't hold high standards for yourself that are cat-like.
Cats,
you're never going to be a cat.
Cats are magic, though.
Exactly.
They're very,
we're one
cosmic
notch
creatures.
Lower.
Could not agree more. Animals are the most sovereign frequencies on the planet.
That's right.
You are magic. Your book is magic. It is coated with light. And I am so grateful that our worlds collided at this time. I'm so excited for you. Books are a game changer. You're scaling your light and at warp speed. And I just wish you continued slowness as the projector that you are, as you expand your Thanksgiving stomach to hold all of this beauty that's coming your way.
Nice and easy.
It's nice and easy. Where can people find you?
KarenElDad.com. That's spelled with two E's. I'm not a Karen.
Gorgeous. You're not a Karen. Let's be real.
Thank you very much. And Coach Karen, again, two E's, not a Karen.
And Instagram and your podcast.
On Instagram, that's right. My podcast is called Coached, and I will be doing another season, and you're coming to talk to me.
Yay! So this is not the end.
I want to talk about ethical fading in the next season.
Let's go.
When people start compromising their soul.
I have a few things to say about that.
That should be fun.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
This was just a gift.